So, quick review. Does anybody remember anything we talked about yesterday?
Be attractive.
And we're not talking about the looks. We're talking about the way you walk with Jesus. And let that be your factor. I want to clarify something. If God has blessed you with the American dream, you're to receive that with thanksgiving. And smile and love people with it. No shame in having it. Just enjoying it and praising him with it. Does that make sense? All right, I want to make sure that was clear. I want to just give you be a transparent for a moment with you guys where the yesterday's sermon came from. During this summer, I had my nephew right here, him living with us, and my niece. They're 16 and 15. And as I told you, my oldest is 14. And they were with us throughout the summer. And when he left, I had this like slight dad panicky moment that I realize my son's not quite as tall as my nephew is yet, maybe never, because my brother's bigger than I am, but all I have to say is I had this moment of like, oh my goodness, my 14-year-old is turning 18 years old really fast, and time is short. So I was getting up in the morning, and I was journaling, and I was talking to the Lord, and all of a sudden I started like looking at my Bible, and I'm a big underliner and writer in my Bible. And I was like, Lord, the last year or two, I've really slacked off working on scripture memory. And I'm that dad where if things are slacking, I take the bull by the horns and start doing something. And so I started journaling all these scriptures I wanted to get memorized with my son before he flew away. And I started having this like take control moment of I gotta make sure he is ready and all this stuff. And I just really sensed inside, and I was reading Titus, and the Lord just began working in my heart this idea of, Seth, more is caught than taught. And your highest calling as a dad is to be attractive spiritually. And as I was talking to friends over here, the idea of not being perfect, but the idea is when we mess up as parents, we admit that, confess that to the Lord and to our children, and that's attractive, by the way, when we're just transparent parents. And so I share that with you guys, as that's where it came from in the last month, how God was just really nudging me about being more about the spiritually attractive parents, helping my kids love the same Jesus that I love, than about getting them all the right information. Does that make sense? All right, fair enough. We're going to move on today. God's tools for hard decisions. Here's another confession for you guys on this whole attractiveness business. Two areas that I face the greatest challenges of being attractive are my health and money. Am I in good company here? Okay. The choices with my body and then how I handle the money in front of me. And I've been asking myself this question, what would make the gospel attractive with my health and my body? And I usually run this direction. I usually run this. With my body, I think if I'm just physically fit, I stick to a diet, I'm consistent, you know, very consistent with exercise, then I can point people to Jesus. If I live by a basic workout regimen and I do this, then I will be attractive for Jesus. Okay? When it comes to money, I think if I can just budget enough, maybe if I make enough money, I can create some order. I don't have worries. And I finally find that I quickly run towards rules in both of these areas when thinking about trying to be attractive for Jesus. And I don't think rules necessarily are the way to go. I do think this. I came across this. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, physical health does have spiritual value, and it can make the gospel attractive. But the rules approach doesn't necessarily draw people to a gracious God. Orderly use of money is talked about in Scripture, and it can be attractive, but it doesn't necessarily point people to a gracious God. I'm going to give you a little diagram that I actually think has been very helpful to me when it comes to this particular area of my physical life. If you look at the circle, God's plan is that those who believe in his son, Jesus Christ, are called to be free. And if you look in the upper right, it says God's called us to enjoyment. God's called us to working hard and diligence. God's called us to rest. He has given us food to eat. He's given us marital intimacy. and he's given us things that are beautiful. And this is God's plan for us to live in that sphere of freedom. But if you look on the outside of enjoyment, you have indulgence, which is sin. And the outside of diligence is being a workaholic. Rest, laziness, eating, gluttony. Marital intimacy is immorality, and beauty is vanity. So we find ourselves living in this tension of we want to be free and enjoy all that God's given us, but you see on the outside is what we're always drawn to. And we're in this battle all the time about living free and not letting ourselves slip into slavery or bondage on the outside there. We're going to look at Galatians chapter 5 today. It's towards the back end, the right side of your Bible. And it's a very common passage. Again, it's from my own personal Bible reading. And we're going to discover that it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. And God wants free followers of Jesus because I'll tell you this, freedom is attractive. It's really attractive. If you find a free person, you find yourself intrigued. You do this. There's something about them that you're just a second look and a third look. When somebody's free from the love of money, they're a contagious person. When they're free from what people think of them, worry of what people think of them, they're a contagious person. There's something very attractive about freedom in people's lives. But the question is this. How? God's plan for every follower of Jesus is freedom that follows in the footsteps of the Holy Spirit. Catch that? God's plan for every follower of Jesus is freedom that follows in the footstep of the Holy Spirit. Now, yesterday we saw in Titus that as we believe, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. And then he guides us, and I just want to give you these couple scriptures to kind of get your mind around it. These are just summaries. In 2 Corinthians 3, it says, when we turn to the Lord in faith, we get the Spirit and freedom. Romans 15, 13, the Holy Spirit fills us with hope when we live by faith. Ephesians 1, the Holy Spirit seals us, and he guarantees eternal life, so that when we trust in Christ, the Spirit of God lives in us, and he helps us along, and he ensures that we will get eternal life based upon the finished work of Christ. And Romans 8, the Spirit, when I said this yesterday, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. So we saw yesterday that it's not just having your sins forgiven, but it's actually living a life in a way that makes people attracted to Jesus. And if your faith is in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit living and breathing and moving inside you, and he is guiding you, helping you, and prompting you all throughout the day. I'm going to share something that's going to be absolutely rocket science to you. This is the one spot. Get ready. He's also at work in your spouse and your children. Talk about pressures off. If your children's faith is in Jesus, they have the Spirit of God in them, and he's a better teacher, better guide, better leader than we are as parents. Same way with their spouse. If there's things about your spouse that drive you crazy, do know this, that the Spirit of God is the guide, and the best thing you can do for those around you is to support them and help them keep in step with the Spirit. And I'll say this, and we'll pray before we read Galatians chapter 5. If we ignore this reality that the Spirit of God is moving and breathing and shifting and shaping and guiding us, it has devastating effects. Catch that? It's got devastating effects. So we're going to read scripture today. I'm going to encourage, coach, and hopefully entice you to keep in step with the Spirit, and you guys will actually find the cool results of that. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we read your word, your Spirit would guide us and teach us and show us what is this truth that's so life-changing. I pray that my friends here would feel the particular weight, the devastation that comes as a result of not yielding or keeping in step with your Spirit. Teach us now, we pray. Amen. We're in Galatians chapter 5. We're going to pick it up in verse 1, and we're going to drop down to verse 13, because I feel like 1 kind of like gives us the summary intro, and then we'll go to 13. Galatians 5, verse 1, again, towards the far right of your Bible, it says this: "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." Verse 13, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." Verse 16, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Now, verse 19, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, it's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. Let's not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." So just if you have your Bibles, glance back to verse 1. And it says, "It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm." And I believe the reason it says stand firm is because if you don't, you're going to slip back into something else, which is the opposite of freedom. So he says we're free from, and I believe it says we're free from the penalty of sin, the penalty of death, slavery to sin, hopelessness, power of darkness and the law. And I believe verse 1 is a call for Christians to stay away from a rules approach to following Jesus. Some of us actually have fit bodies. Some of you, I should say, have fit bodies but are not free. And you're enslaved to a number on a scale, a certain look, a workout program, or the next fad diet. Some follow every financial rule, yet you're enslaved to actually the fear and anxiety about, will I have enough someday? Some of you have trusted in Jesus as your Savior, but you've turned back to obedience to rules to assure yourself of His love. I'm here to tell you that assurance is not based upon your works. I'm going to say that one more time. Assurance is not based upon your works. That is actually called slavery. Trying to prove that you're a child of God by your works. Dwight Edwards says this: "At any moment when I may doubt that I'm really forgiven by God, I find my assurance of His love by focusing upon the cross of Christ." Check that out. Just soak your brains on that one right there. When I may doubt I'm really forgiven, I find my assurance of His love by focusing upon the cross of Christ. And this is freedom. I don't have to prove anything. Since God proved His forever love for us by sending His Son to die on the cross for our sins. So, according to verse 1, Christ died to set us free. Don't run towards a rules-based approach towards pleasing Him. There's something better in store, and that's keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 13 says, freedom is not meant to lead you to a life of sin. It's a call to stay away from sin in the daily Christian life. God's kindness is never meant, like, to give us a license to go out and do what we want. It's a call towards relationship. It's a moment by moment, keep in step, love, friendship, and obedience. Now, according to verse 16, if I could summarize it, it's like this. Stay in step with the Spirit, and you will be one free person. Stay in step with the Spirit, and you will be one attractive person. Now, this may not seem like, wow, this is like a new teaching. This is great. This should not be a new teaching. This should be a very old teaching that's true and foundational to being a spiritually attractive person. Stay in step with the Spirit, and you will be free. Follow that nudge to love others, forgive others, serve others. Support the Holy Spirit nudge in your spouse and your kids. I actually, one of the things that I think it's been devastating for me is when I don't listen to the Holy Spirit's prompting in my wife, I hurt myself and my family. Does that make sense? That the Spirit of God is working in both of us, and when I don't listen and yield to the Holy Spirit in my spouse, it actually has devastating effects. In verse 16, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. So if you find that you've got some sin in your life that's just gripping you and you're having a hard time shaking it, oftentimes we focus on the sin and the defeat of the sin. And how, the question like Dr. Phil says, how's that working for you? Usually leads to defeat. It's the wrong focus. It's actually staying in step with the Spirit. Now, verse 17, it kind of paves the way for this. Let's be honest. We're a walking civil war. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. Therefore, you're not free to do whatever you want. We're not called to live by whatever I want, because whatever I want inevitably leads to slavery. Now, verse 18 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Following the Spirit frees you from the weight of rules. Following this Holy Spirit in the area of finances frees me from entitlement. It frees me from overspending. Following the Holy Spirit in my body frees me from what people think of me. Frees me from looking in the mirror and being disgusted with myself. Frees me from my appetite, my wants, from my reputation, and frees me from allowing my feelings to lead me. Now, I read it earlier, but verses 19 to 21 describe the devastating effects of following the flesh or what you want. And as I read them before, the works, it says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious, and it goes on this long list. Do they sound, if you have your Bibles there in front of you, does that sound or look, just glance at that, 19 to 21, does that look like freedom? And everybody said, no. The world sells that good as freedom. They sell that like on the shelf. This is freedom. And it starts with middle school kids. It starts with high school kids. That basically the ones who act like they're having fun are doing these things. But if you push the fast forward button 20 years, that lifestyle leads to everything that's the opposite of freedom. It's a totally deceptive bill of sale for sure, okay? So 19 to 21 says this is freedom, and it's not. The world sells it, and it's a joke, and it's a lie. Verse 22 to 25, which I believe is the most beautiful list of freedom in the world, it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things, there is no law. It's like drinking water. As much as you want, go for it. It's all yours. And the cool thing about this is not your doing. It is when you stay in step with the Spirit, when you stay and dance with the Spirit, when you move and follow the Spirit, this stuff comes dripping off of your life, which leads to freedom. I want to just say something real quick. Does the joy-filled family seem like a really far-off dream? For some, it feels like this kind of elusive dream, a wish, and for some of you, it's a very far-off reality because you think joy comes from that stack of American dreams lined up, moving together. Many Christians talk about it in our churches, about being joy-filled, and yet they don't have any experience with it. And I want to encourage you that we don't get joy-filled families by focusing on being joy-filled. If you go to your average Christian bookstore, they talk about basically focus on being joyful, and then you get joy. That's just not true. That's like self-help, positive thinking. It's repackaged humanism. It's not true. According to these verses, is that when we stay in step with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit produces the fruit of joy in your family. So if you want joy-filled family, as if you're a man in the house and you've got a family, it's stay in step with the Holy Spirit inside. If you're a lady in the house and you've got a family here and you've got influence over children or grandchildren, stay in step with the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Now, we have these desires to have these things, but apart from the Spirit of God, these are not possible. So this is what I want to just give you guys in closing thought today. We're going to read a couple things together. And this, again, came from out of my reading. It says this, on the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and he said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers," or it could be translated torrents or flood of living water, "will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive." So Jesus himself predicted that those who believed in him would receive the Holy Spirit that would be like a river flowing from within. I think this is fabulous. And today I want to invite you guys to keep in step with the Spirit who encourages you, who leads you in truth. Now I want to warn you against something. There's something dangerously close to following the Spirit. It's called follow your heart. The world has repackaged this thing. And Scripture says the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? We're not talking about follow the heart. We're talking about the Holy Spirit who guides us in truth. Does that make sense? There's a big, very big contrast there. So I want to encourage you guys, don't let anybody fool you to pick up another dance partner. Don't pick up a rules-based approach to parenting or a rules-based approach to following Jesus. This is a call to follow the Holy Spirit. If you're prompted to go love somebody, what should you do? Love them now. If you're prompted to give or serve or resource something, do it. If you don't have peace about something, which is, again, in that list, it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have peace about that loan, guess what? Don't do it. If you don't have peace about that decision, it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Don't do it. You don't have a peace about confronting somebody, don't act on it. If you've been prompted to seek forgiveness, do it. Prompted to say an encouraging word. Has anybody ever felt like you needed to encourage somebody and you just kind of kept your mouth shut and you didn't do it? That's the Holy Spirit. Maybe perhaps have you had that hidden sin that's caused you to lose joy. Maybe perhaps family camp can be a time where you confess that to the Lord and family and get it out. As believers in Jesus, we have this call to follow the Holy Spirit inside, stay in step, follow his drumbeat, no matter how far away it may seem or how distant it may seem, because the Holy Spirit will always lead you to freedom. A book that really has really impacted me on this particular issue is it's called The Revolution Within. It's written by Dwight Edwards. And there's a series of quotes that I would love if any adult, I'm just going to put them up here, any adult would just carefully and loudly stand and read them. Somebody?
Christ has created and redeemed each of us to be his unique and personal waterway, through whom he can cause his living waters to spill forth the glory of God, the good of others, and the damage of Satan.
Ponder that. We're created to be a waterway through whom he can spill forth for his glory, the good of others, and the damage of Satan. That's what's at stake here, friends. If we follow the Holy Spirit, we can bring glory to God, bring good to others, and the damage of Satan. Somebody else read the next one. Good.
Genuine spirit-induced denial of self always leads to a greater treasure than smug congratulating himself on being willing to pay the price of true discipleship. It always leads to him.
Yeah. When we follow the Holy Spirit, there is no smug look at me, pat myself on the back. It leads to this greater, deeper, joyful love of the Lord that loves others as a result, for sure. A few more. Yeah, it's important for you guys to hear this because we love people who come on staff at Fort, but you don't have to be here at Fort or on staff at your church to make a huge difference in the kingdom of God. We want people who are spirit compelled in their lifestyle in everything they do, in banking, in real estate, in teaching, in the trades. We need people who are following the Holy Spirit and letting him compel them in their lives. One more. Go ahead.
Our calling isn't to shame or coerce believers into doing what they don't want to do, but to help them enjoy and appropriate what God is already urging them toward through his indwelling spirit.
Yeah, I love that. It's so freeing. I don't have to coerce my children or anybody else to get in step with the Spirit. I just mentioned that the Spirit of God's got a drumbeat in your life. And if your faith is in Jesus, there's something in the inside of you that wants to jump, and you smile, and you know it. You know there's a choice that he's been prompting you to do. There, you know there's something that you've really felt like, I just need to act on this, and you've been holding off. And nothing comes alive like a believer in Jesus who follows the Holy Spirit inside. Nothing's more attractive. So I'm going to close with this. Are you being attractive for Jesus in your decision-making? And the first step to being attractive is just staying in step, following in dance with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to worry about all the right juggling, about all the right things, about am I doing all the right stuff, or am I in the right location or occupation? Is our family making all the perfect choices? But are we in step with the Holy Spirit? Let's pray. Our Father, it is so neat to be able to read your word and see that you proved your forever love by sending your son Jesus to die in our place, to rise again so that we could have eternal life. Lord, thank you for that love. But Lord, equally as important to rescuing us is that as you gave us life, you put your Holy Spirit inside us, who calls us and reminds us that we're your child and that we can live a new life in you. Lord, I pray this morning that my friends here would not feel a guilt, they would not feel shame, but they would feel drawn and encouraged and uplifted to follow your Holy Spirit inside. I pray that as they go throughout their day, maybe things that need to be confessed and acknowledged. I pray that Fort would be a place of airing that out and exposing that to you and to their family. I pray that there would be maybe leaders of families that would feel that freedom of confession to you. I pray for maybe perhaps some of these kids who have been holding on to sin and holding on to things, that if they would stay in step with your Spirit, Lord, they would find that obeying their parents would be a much, much easier thing. Lord, I pray that you would produce free families here that make your gospel attractive, and as they follow in step with your Spirit, your fruit would drip off of them and they'd be joy-filled. They'd have peace. They'd be patient. They'd go into the school system this fall and the work environment and they'd permeate life. They'd make their world a better place. They draw people to you. That we pray. Lord, thank you for the gift of this day that we have. It's your day. It's a good day. We want it to be a godly day. And we pray that you'd help our friends to enjoy your creation today. In your name we pray. Amen.